Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination. And of course, with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Spandex makes me horny. Drag is the new spandex.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the final episode of Drag is the New Spandex, RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 2 Recap. That's because that's a mouthful.
Electric Boogaloo. Should have been in there somewhere. Mm-hmm.
My name is Oral, but you knew that. His name is Pat. Hey Pat.
What up?
Okay, and now to get down to brass tacks. Trash! Oh, utter trash. I watched this season, and granted, there were some episodes, like the first one, and then like three episodes in, which were great. We got some really cool moments. It was nice to have this like in between before we get into season 9. But this season shows you that Drag Race is so heavily scripted. It is this sort of like predestination. It doesn't matter if you literally get out on stage and set yourself on fucking fire. Whoever decides, you know, whoever the producers decide are going to win. And, you know, this is what happens when you don't rely on just pure talent, and you rely on talent and a story arc.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah, it reeked of, and I mean, the same thing was kind of said about All Star Season 1, where it pretty much was designed as a way for Chad Michaels to get a crown and $100,000.
Yes, but that was so, like, that was a soft sell. That to me was a soft sell.
Yes, yeah, it wasn't as heavy-handed.
Yeah,
with...
this was just blatant thievery, chicanery. Wiggotry and just thievery. Just thievery.
What did you call me?
It just let's okay, you know what? Let's back up and let's start from the beginning like we always have to.
I'm so sad. Like honestly, like we all knew this episode was coming. We all knew how this was gonna go down. But still, I'm so deflated at the end of this, and we'll get to more of that in a minute, but The girls come back into the room, they talk about it, the elimination, they talk about the fact that Roxy's still there, and they Alaska wants to find out what lipstick.
What you mean find out, bitch? You knew when you saved her the first time. You knew when you saved her the second time. You knew when Detox saved her the 18th time. You knew which lipstick she had chosen.
I know, but there was still a little part of me that wanted to see Alaska's name on Katya's lipstick. There was a part of me, and I know that that's not the game Katya was playing. That was absolutely not the game that she was playing. She was playing it on the up and up about, you know, who showed the best and who deserved to be there. And yes, with all those prior challenges, Alaska did deserve to be in the final.
Absolutely.
The final four.
Absolutely.
But I was still hoping, above hope, that she was going to pull it out and be like, I'm sorry, girl, it's nothing personal, but you are my biggest competition.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that it said Alaska, but it said Roxy, which we pretty much all figured that was, after 47 times in the bottom, you could only get so far.
You know what this shows me? Is that I don't need to go through drag boot camp to make it through an all-star season. If I get on once, get a couple of catchphrases, tear my wig off, and then show up to all-star season 2 and a fucking burlap sack and 3 wigs that I rotate out, I'll be fine.
Only if you've got friends. Only if you got friends. Because And it's not to say that Roxy isn't a talented performer at all. But if she did not come with friends, and you know, if it was not cast with Alaska and Detox on there as well, she would have gone home.
Yeah.
She definitely would have gone home. But they pulled her through.
And you know what? I can understand saving her at the jump because that, you know, she won the first challenge.
Yeah, for sure.
But the second time, okay, you know what? That's my friend. I'll save her. I got that. That's, you know, that one's on me. I'll take the L.
For sure.
But the third and the fourth time, have you girls lost your damn mind? And then let's fast forward. You know, because this is, oh no, I'm pissed. This is trash. Because the whole challenge is you need to come up with like a rap. It's the big dance number. One of the best dance numbers they've ever done.
Yeah, and we didn't do a music video like in regular seasons.
Yeah.
It's for RuPaul's bitch track, Reggie Wrote You.
Yeah, but like that, and that was cool. Not gonna lie, that was really good.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that.
We'll get to the nitty gritty of that.
Yes.
But another part of that, instead of doing just the one-on-one conversation where the girls are eating Tic Tacs, why not do like a synergistic meeting where they are being interviewed on RuPaul's podcast, because podcasts are cool, podcasts are here to stay. It makes sense.
Well, because RuPaul will shill anything. If it's going to bring her some money, she going to put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And she has sponsors. And the more listenership that she can get, people may not have known about What's the Tea with Michelle Visage. Now they do because they've watched All Stars. Although I find it fucking hysterical because you know that this shit was done for the show this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know that bitch is not getting into drag to go do a goddamn podcast with Michelle Visage. In a big-ass studio with fucking crazy amount of lighting and all that. Listeners, I mean, that's what our podcast studio looks like. And Oral is in full drag right now.
Totally.
However, you know Rue is like, if you listen to What's the Tea, you know that she is not sitting there in drag.
That hoe was showing up in a house coat and some flip-flops.
Pretty much.
But what gets me is that during this, to me, the only two people who were completely honest and just really forthcoming were Katya and Detox.
Yeah.
Because you bring on Roxy, who's just like, I'm just happy to be here. I'm just happy to be here. I'm going to show you what I can do. We've seen what you can do episode by episode by episode.
Because they dragged you along through all 8 episodes.
And you know what? It goes to show you that God takes care of what? Children and fools. And it's just, you know, whatever. That's fine. In that situation, and in that scenario, that's what she's going to say. Wasn't interesting. It's just whatever. You know, how are you? I thought we cut you.
Yeah. She's like, oh my God, Roxy, you're still here. Who knew?
But to have Alaska fix her beak to, you know, like, you know, RuPaul's like, so Alaska Tux is back. She's like, well, not really. We're not really practicing Alaska Tux. What the fuck do you call that? When I can stand up and say I defend Alyssa Edwards and say that bitch deserves to be here, like, you know, there's some things that you could tell are edited, but when the judges are literally sitting there mouth agape, like they're double dicking down, and they're like, what?
Except for RuPaul, she had her mouth open. But that was just because she's trying to win another Emmy for best actress. Yeah. Because you know that bitch is like, oh, this is who I'm picking because this is who I want to see go into it because the producers told me this is what's going to get me ratings.
Yeah. So.
Because I love it. And I just, the only reason I say that is because I've seen on Facebook and some other things, they're like, oh my God, even Rue was gagged by that decision. Bitch, it's fucking RuPaul's Drag Race. It's not like she's some random person in there. Of course they have a fucking storyline.
She gets the, you know, the outcome sent via messenger bird. Only bluebirds. Only bluebirds. She doesn't do pigeons. She doesn't do cardinals.
to her Montana ranch that she shares with her husband.
Yes.
Yes, I love it.
And so...
about 6 to 8 months before taping even starts. We've cast these girls, RuPaul. Here's the winner. We'll see you in 6 months for taping of the season.
Yep, girl, we rented that really nice house that you like. So for Alaska to sit there, and then after she does it, she's crying. She's like, you know, I don't want everyone to think that Alaska Tux is here. Well, one, it wouldn't have been Alaska Tux because Detox and you could stand on your own 2 feet. You literally dragged this special needs hoe. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to the special needs community. You know what? If you want to write letters, I completely, like, that was wrong. I'm just so heated and I shouldn't have said something like that. It's just, it frustrates me because it shows you how, like, when the show feels spontaneous, when you see the little, like vignettes of, like, that human interaction, like the reversal of fortunes, the twist of fates, that's really cool. But don't sit here and say, I didn't want this, when you literally made it happen twice. You made it happen twice. And I was rooting for you, girl. I really was. And it's not that I don't think that you're insanely talented. It's not that you haven't made me laugh this season. But to say one thing and do another.
Oh, for sure.
And to, you know, to literally have this meltdown at the final. And I understand it's $100,000.
No, and I get that. But it wasn't just that. Wasn't just the meltdown before the elimination in the previous challenge. But then when you sit there and then on the last goddamn day, second to last, because, you know, these are done in 2 days shoots. But in the last episode, all of a sudden now go, oh, I don't want Rue to think that we're Alaska Talks because that's what we spent the most time talking about. That and my meltdown in the podcast. What the fuck do you think is going to happen now? I mean, seriously, if there were a god in the world right now, it would have made a difference. But we knew that this was all going to be what it was going to be. But you're going to sit there and you're going to pitch a fit and cop an attitude. And even Detox's talking head moment about, like, you know, what are you going on about this now for? Like, if this was such an issue, then this should have been something that was an issue from week one. Like, hey, we're not going to do this. If I'm in the bottom and I deserve to go home, then send me home. But that's not how they played it. In between, like, the podcast sessions, they have a little one-on-one with AB Soto. And Roxy thinks she's Nicki Minaj. Can't nobody tell her she's not Nicki Minaj. So we won't tell her she's not Nicki Minaj.
I'll do it. Girl, more like Sticky Triage. Like, I just, no. Can't do it. Can't abide it.
Alaska does her bit. And
which is fine.
It was fine. AB tells her to give it a little more energy. Katya stumbles through hers a little bit. And it's, I mean, she's a white man. She's sitting there going, this isn't my thing, but she's going to make it work. And Detox was his favorite, AB Soto's favorite of the rhymes. And it's fine. And Detox has experience with that.
Yeah.
You know, it's when DWV was a thing. She would be the one that would do those raps when they did, you know, Boys of Bottom or Chowder Chick-fil-A. Like, those things, like, that's within her wheelhouse.
Yes.
So they get through all that. They go to the dance rehearsals. And, of course, we all know Alaska can't dance for shit.
Can't dance.
Roxy, as long as you put a fan by her, she's fine. But that's about it. Detox stumbles on some chairs. But I would too. Shit. You going to try to make me walk on chairs? And, you
know, yeah,
that was, I mean, it was cute.
It was cute.
But goddamn, I'm going to be up there in some high, high heels and I'm going to be trying to walk on these chairs. And then Katya comes up and this episode made me have hope because then they all sit there, all three of them. Alaska Tux is like, oh, girl, she bendy. Oh, shit, she can do this shit. And she was just throwing it out like they having a ball with it.
Yeah.
So much fun. And that's what I like to see.
Yeah.
Like, the dramas is fine. But when you get to a situation like this where it's like, you know, Alaska makes the comment of, you remember what happened the last time when it was Alaska Tux and a lovable weirdo? Like, fuck you. Like, honestly, Katya isn't just this, like, weird person that you guys don't really know is unknown. She's a goddamn fan favorite.
Yeah, and you know what? She reminds me a lot of, not just because they're white, and quirky of Pandora Box, where she'll come up with an idea and she'll really commit to it. And she embodies that idea for whatever challenge it is, whatever runway look.
The only difference, in my opinion, though, with Pandora, and I love Pandora, whenever she comes here, we're always there to see her. We always have fun with her at the meet and greets. When Pandora was on the show, and that was years ago.
Years ago.
It wasn't
God,
as...
God, has it been years ago?
It has been years. Oh. Ooh. Her ideas were never fully formed and realized the way that Katya's have been right from the get-go in her season.
I would agree with that.
Her self-esteem and her confidence, not there. And she's grown in that since season 7. But I think... I think that the comparison to Pandora is a good one, but even from the jump, fully fleshed out ideas and having that character that interlaced within like everything else that she does, it wasn't just kind of that, I'm quirky, I'm a comedy queen, that type of thing. She would do a little bit of glamour. She would do some fun with it, and it was just fully realized. And I think that with like the dancing and the gymnastics and the splits and all that, it showed such a well-rounded performer. And that was, I mean, like, the first half of this episode really just kind of, it was just kind of a whirl and a blur. And I think they even didn't really focus on it that much, because if I'm not mistaken, it was only about 20, 25 minutes with commercials before we hit the runway. And it's that final time on the runway. It says, because unlike regular seasons, this wasn't we get down to our final, whose team are you on? And then at the reunion, we're going to announce a winner. This was for all the marbles right then and there. And as you alluded to earlier, we get the dance routine, the fully done up, all the recorded tracks. Thank God they didn't make them do this live, because God help me. Whoo, that would have probably been a hot mess. But it's the fully recorded, fully edited, auto-tuned, whole nine. Bitch track for Reggie Wrote You, and it was the best fucking, like,
it was
dance
slick.
Song. Oh.
Which shows you how talented all of them are, and that's what I like, because that wasn't staged to show you who was going to win.
Nope.
It was showcasing each and every one of them. It's better than the Women of History that they did, but, like, seeing them all do their thing, great. The only rhymes that seem sick, and not in the like sick, badass sort of way, sick as in stage 4 leukemia sort of way, was Roxy. Because she did this like vocal breakdown.
Yeah, and I mean when she was quote unquote rapping, it was fine. It wasn't great, like,
nothing collegiate, was memorable.
It wasn't collegiate level, like, Shakespearean lyrics. Not that any of them really were, but it was more very just grade school elementary, like, I'm just writing down, like when
my name is Roxy and I'm here to say I've come to you from a special way. Like, it's...
Yeah, it felt very basic. It was the pumpkin spice latte of rhymes. And then she did that vocal breakdown. That heavily auto-tuned vocal breakdown, and it just fell apart from a like production value. It felt like she was in her bathroom and recorded in her bathroom so she could get that weird echo.
You know what it's like? I I'm shaming myself. It's like whenever I'm getting ready in the morning, because I listen to music in the morning and in the shower, like everyone should. And whenever Mariah Carey's Emotion comes on, like, it's like, keep, like, it was very much that. It was very much that. And that was pure. Don't edit that. I know you want it. You know what? You can edit it to make it sound like you just heard. Like, I've got really nice dulcet tone. So, yeah. Like, it was rough, but everyone else's was just, it was great.
Yeah, I mean, Alaska's was fine. For Alaska, it was Alaska. It wasn't bad. It wasn't exceptional.
No.
Because we also come to expect recording from Alaska. Mm-hmm. Again, she's not, she's never going to top Billboard, you know, top 100 or 200 mainstream music, but it was fine. For drag race music, it definitely, it was good.
Yes.
Detox, I felt, was good, but faltered in some ways.
How
when,
so?
When you use a line like, if RuPaul's number one, then I'm number two?
Oh, I felt like those broken rhymes.
Not even that. I felt like she put herself down. Like, you already placed yourself as the winner. Mm-hmm. You know, like Alaska was talking about, like, you know, hold my purse while I snatch the crown, or, you know, something like that. You want it to be positive that you are the winner. You don't call yourself number two in your rhyme in the finale.
I felt that that was odd.
You know, like, it just, and there was one other line. I honestly, off the top of my head, I don't remember. There are no shackles on us in this recording, so we'll burn it to the ground at the end of the recording. But it felt a little off.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think the absolute standout, and it's because our expectations were lower, because it's not her strong suit.
No.
And again, in Detox, again, is a recorded artist.
Yes.
Has put out music. We expect hits. Her to do
she
these
put out
things.
Hits in a niche market, but
still
hits.
But still, songs that were widely popular, so you expect it. Then comes Katya. And I swear to God, I don't know if it was production, I don't know if it was what, but that bitch was hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
That bitch's moves were fantastic.
They were upside down doing, like, being flipped over, tossed and turned, like, really staying true to her character and brand.
Doing that Russian accent, dropping Russian, like, comments, like, or references.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lenin in the streets, Dostoevsky in the sheets. If I pronounce that horribly, I'm sorry. But, you know, like,
things sorry like, to you, to my future husband listening in Russia. I don't know how you got us, but I'm proud you did.
But, you know, it just, it overall.
I love you, Dimitri.
It overall was, I think, the standout. When we were watching, I put it on the other night just to watch the that performance over again, the entire performance, and then went back and just watched Katya's part again, because I was like, this is so good.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to, after that, they do a runway, which they had to give them a lot of time, because Alaska painted herself blue.
She did.
She was a goddamn Smurf, and it wasn't like Fifi's bodysuit, where she just did her face mm-hmm. in blue. A much better paint job than Alaska did, because you could see brush strokes all over herself.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought she was going for this textured Monet thing.
Oh, no. I just don't think she got a lot of coverage. I think it was trying to do it quickly and in such a way that it wouldn't take 5 hours to clean off afterwards.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they do their runway, and it's All-Star Glamorama. And I think overall, they look good. I don't think anybody failed it miserably. Do you?
No.
I think Alaska looked like Alaska, though.
Alaska looked like Alaska.
Just in a gold dress this time.
Mm-hmm.
With some sequences.
Which isn't terrible.
No.
Which wasn't terrible.
It wasn't ugly, but it was Alaska. It was the same silhouette that we've mm-hmm. come to know and expect. Minus the hat and the boa from the other challenge.
Yeah, but you know, like, you can't knock someone for having just a so-so silhouette when other people... Like, other seasons have had characters who have given you the same silhouette.
Do not talk about Bianca Del Rio.
I'm not.
Because
Bianca Del Rio. I'm not.
I know that was such a critique. But at the same time, those dresses those dresses had the same silhouette. They did not all look the same. When you can give me that silhouette and give me variations that I don't sit there and go, did I just see that dress?
Yeah.
That's the difference. So when you have Alaska with that same look, it didn't wow me.
No.
It was pretty. It looked good. She looked good. Her hair looked good. Couldn't clock a wig line. I was happy about that. Mm-hmm. Detox, adorable as always. She fucking, if there was anything that she probably got the highest marks from top to bottom the entire season, that runway was it. Roxy. What did you think of Roxy's look?
You know, when it comes to Roxy,
she shouldn't be there.
Besides the fact that she shouldn't be there, I see it. I see what she's going for. Unfortunately, it's on the horizon. And I'm not quite sure if that is a mirage, a trick of the light, or just something that needs to be kept at a distance.
My only thing with it was the hair. It was a pretty dress. It was fine for what it was. I did not like the really short, matted to the head with the little headpiece thing. Yeah. It just didn't. For me, it just didn't work. Katya, maybe not 100% glamorama, but her, that bustle skirt, big hoop-ish skirt, came up about just above the ankle in the front, little bit of a train in the back, little crop top. It worked for her character. It gave you weird Russian, like, mafia wife, which is Katya in a nutshell. So overall, none of them fucked up the runway. None of them fucked up this entire challenge, except maybe Roxy with that lip sync to her own written verse. But anyway, before they get to the final lip sync, Rue does what she always does, ask them why they should be crowned the winner. And Alaska gives a canned, polished, rehearsed speech. When people sit there and talk about Hillary Clinton giving really rehearsed answers at the debates,
to me it sounded like Alaska just opened her mouth and a Victrola started playing in the background.
Pretty much. And it felt, it was a lot of name dropping. It was a lot of, like, history of RuPaul's Drag Race. It was a lot of name dropping of past season contestants. It felt to me like on season 6 when they did the wedding challenge and that couple did that really, really corny, like, name dropping of all these different things and all these RuPaul's Drag Race references. It's like, I know that you enjoy this show. I know you love this show. But these are your goddamn wedding vows. Really? That's what you go to, like, when somebody goes, what were your wedding vows? You're going to have this whole thing about, you know, Sharon Needles and Pork Chop and all these. It seemed weird.
Yep.
And it didn't seem genuine.
Nope.
You have a complete and utter meltdown, and you're trying to redeem yourself, you know, in this challenge. Be humble. Be more of, just be genuine. And it didn't feel like it was. Detox gave a lovely little, you know, heartfelt speech. Roxy, again, was pretty much just like, glad I'm here.
Glad I'm here. Don't know how yes I do. It's called nepotism.
And then Katya was, I think, the most emotionally charged one, because in her own mind, I think she had the most to prove. Coming off all the anxiety and craziness of her season and not being a Rue girl for that long, it was a lot to prove to herself and to everybody out there. And she ended it with a little quote in Russian. And when RuPaul asked, what does that mean? She goes, I have a carburetor outside I just need to do a little work on. And it was hysterical. It was such a great little way to end an emotional speech. And thanks to Reddit, a Russian-speaking Redditor said that her speech meant, I am an all-star, always. Thank you so much. And it seemed like the most heartfelt, most direct, proper, like, thing to say at that moment in time.
Now let's skip to the bullshit.
Well, the good part was that if nobody else was going to eliminate Roxy from this competition, RuPaul did.
Thank God.
She said, you know what? Y'all bitches ain't going to put her name on a lipstick. I am. And she sent Roxy packing. And this was the thing that I kind of called from 2 weeks ago when we had too many people to go into this finale, was that somebody was going to get eliminated before they went into crowning mode.
Mm-hmm.
And because they did the same thing with Jujubee in All Stars 1. They sent her packing before the final three.
Yep.
And same thing happened. Roxy sashays away, finally. Only took her 6 episodes. And they do a lip sync to Gladys Knight. If I Were Your Woman. I don't understand that. Why? Like, Give me an upbeat number. Give me that RuPaul shit from last week.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'm starting to think it
was
a conspiracy.
You can literally just do a medley of all the runway singles.
It seemed like it was, for something at this point, I felt like it was, it needed something more upbeat. I can kind of get the symbolism, like if I was your woman, like trying to get RuPaul to pick them to be that person who's going to win. But it just felt awkward and weird. And I still feel like Katya won that lip sync too. But who won it, Oral? Mm. Who took the crown with her manufactured smeared makeup?
The queen named after a state where people either kill themselves in record numbers or they have to pay people to live there, Alaska.
And we knew it was going to happen from the beginning. She did great. She
by
the numbers.
Suicide is not funny.
No, it is not.
Unless I make it funny. I think I did. Thank you for your consideration, Oral Pryor.
By the numbers, if you were to assign point totals for everything, she won. Hands down, she dominated the season.
Yeah.
However, I think when you are looking at trying to represent a brand, and you're going to be in the quote-unquote Hall of Fame with two other pictures in it, so as a very funny drag queen from Brooklyn said, it's more like a closet of fame. It just didn't seem like... It seemed like a letdown. It seemed like a very anticlimactic end to the series.
It was. It absolutely was. Like, it's so frustrating because it's like, you know, you see the blocking. You see the disadvantages, really good queens, and even queens who I don't personally care for, but you saw, like, really turned it out, and it doesn't matter. That's what's so frustrating, because when Drag Race is great, it's great. But when they decide this is how something's going to play out, you see it. And you even see it in Bob's season. You see it in all of them.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, this person didn't do so great, but, you know, we really like their story arc. We're really going to push them. There are times where it's like, you deserve to go home. Yeah. That's not just a misstep. That's a critical error, and it doesn't matter. And that's what's so disappointing about the end of this. Had it felt more fair on both sides, on the production sides and then the Alaska Tuck side, had it felt more fair, even in one of those two categories, I wouldn't bitch so much.
Honestly, at this point, if Alaska didn't have that meltdown, I wouldn't have given a shit. Yeah. I think that, and then the whole, we're going to put these pictures up, like, and retweet, and share, and do all these things, and make your voice heard. The numbers were so astronomically on Katya's side from a fan perspective, but then, guess what? They put those out on Monday, episodes on Thursday, but what do they have a commercial for at the end of this episode? The reunion that's already been taped.
Yep.
That Alaska's wearing a crown in.
Yep.
So you've now just shown your ass and said that we put this fan vote out there for nothing, because this was already done deal. Alaska already knew, which is why Alaska's putting out these videos where she's just trying to be self-aware or tongue in cheek and do this. And it just kind of makes me feel like you're being a little cunty, and I don't appreciate it. I don't, you know, I don't love her new music video for the tea.
Yeah.
Was more interesting. Because she is a little more self-aware, and it feels less like she is kind of just smacking you in the face and saying, I don't give a shit if you didn't like my meltdown. I know that record numbers of people did not want me to win this crown, but fuck you. I won it already. So peace. The tea video felt a little more like a lot of shit has gone down. I've been shitty. Other people have been shitty to me. This is like kind of setting the record straight, and I at least appreciated that.
Yeah.
But another season is in the books. A crown has been placed on a queen's head. Whether we thought by the end of this that it should have gone to that queen.
Like, literally, had they even come out and given it to Detox, I would have been fine.
Split the difference and give it to Detox.
Yeah. But it's like whenever you're playing, like, Mario Kart 8, or you're playing like Halo, where you're just like, two people voted for this, two people voted for that, one person voted for this. You go with the person who got the one vote. Like, whatever. It's fine. Fuck it. But they didn't do that. And I will say that I'm disappointed. Like I said, this season has had some really great moments, some laugh out loud stuff. But other than that,
I think overall it worked because the queens were queens we knew and queens we liked.
Yep.
Which has been something that we've kind of needed with an interesting mix of queens over the last couple of seasons. Some amazingly great and some that just aren't really liked.
You know what I really blame, actually? I blame the grouping.
Yeah.
And you know, that's part of their deliberate, like, story arc. But when you have all of one season girls against, you know, the lone wolf, who's not even a wolf. She's just in it trying to survive.
Yep.
Like, it's just, whatever. Katya, you won in my book. I will always, always pay to see you when you come to town. Whatever to Alaska. Detox girl, you know I got you. You know, I'm always in your camp. Roxy, you can see me in the street and talk whatever you want, but at least I didn't have to survive on charity and hope, probably sucking some dick behind the cameras. I'm not calling you a whore, but you're one like one. And with that, everyone, thank you for listening to Drag is the New Spandex, RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star Season 2 Recaps. I am so glad this is done and we get our Sundays back because I am so tired. We've been running ragged, but we did it. Yes. I didn't think we were going to be consistent, but we were, Pat, so congratulations. Cool. Yeah, and when we're shaking hands, one for the boys back home. You can totally listen to us on regular episodes of Flame On. I'm not even gonna lie, y'all got a lot of dragons in New Spandex. Don't know when we're coming back, but know that we will be back.
Oh, trust me, we got some good people lined up, so we'll be coming back sooner rather than later, but maybe a little later.
A little later, yeah. Also, if you're not getting enough oral in your life, you can always find me on Stupid Popcast, that's stupid with two O's, and Popcast with a P. Or you can, and/or, you can totally read my comic book reviews on scifipost.net. Why? Because .nets are still cool.
And if you enjoy Flame On or any of the other shows on the Nerdy Show Network, feel free to head over to Patreon and become a Patreon subscriber, and you can help fund some of these fantastic episodes. And you can even earmark a couple of those dollars to come straight to our podcast.
Because it's so helpful, and it's not like we're trying to steal from our brothers and sisters on the other episodes, but we really know why you guys keep going to nerdyshow.com. So whatever. Whatever. I'm not ashamed to say it. What I said, I say it again. With that, thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
I'm your Duchess of Dorks, Oral, and I'll catch you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. Flame On was created by Brian Pittard and is engineered by Pat O'Rourke. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programs, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com and be sure to follow Nerdy Show and Flame On all your favorite social networks. Follow us at Flame On Podcast on Twitter and Flame On Show on Facebook, Tumblr, and all your favorite gay hookup apps. If it's gay and geeky, we've got you covered.